Earlier today, I received an email from a friend. I didn't have a chance to ask his rishus, so I can't mention his name. Describing the current situation in Eretz Yisrael and ruminating about it. There are many, many positive things happening in Eretz Yisrael. There's been a tremendous strengthening of Emunah, which manifests in many ways. Tzahal ordered 300,000, exclamation point, 300,000 pairs of the special tzitzis that soldiers wear. Many of the soldiers said Shechiyonu, because they had never worn tzitzis before. My chaver has raised money and ordered 1,600 pairs of tefillin for soldiers who haven't worn them before. There are videos of the soldiers saying Shema and Ona Hashem Hoshiyana together before entering battle in Gaza. There was an interview on the radio 3 weeks ago of a father sitting Shiva for his son who was killed in Shmini Atzeres. He's a Lubavitch Chassid from France. On the flight to Israel to bury his son, he asked his fellow travelers to put on tefillin, and they refused. Then he took out a picture of his son and said, "My son won't be able to wear tefillin again. Maybe you can wear tefillin instead of him." And almost all the men on the plane put on tefillin. There's a video of the mother of the chayelet who was miraculously saved from Gaza. She was taking challah on the Friday before her daughter was released. She davens with dema'os. And a few days later, her daughter was freed. The country is talking about it. A female chaver Knesset gave a 5-minute speech from the Knesset podium where she says she's jealous of the mother's emunah and kesher with Hashem. And now that second speech is being sent around. There are many more similar examples. At the same time, literally the same time, we have hundreds of families in Avelus from the massacre in Shemini Atzeres. We've had 19 soldiers killed in the war. There are dozens of families with relatives who are hostages in Gaza. There are thousands of people who are displaced from their homes in the south for what could be a very long time. There are thousands of families whose husbands are away for an extended period and their home life is completely out of whack. Then he proceeds to ruminate a little bit about this confluence. So how do we make sense of this extraordinary confluence? So we'll read a few lines. First, I'm reading from the Rav's volume, Out of the Whirlwind. Here and there, I'm skipping words, skipping some sentences. And afterwards, from the very beginning of Halachic Mind. Faith is an experience of suffering. From the very dawn of our history, with the emergence of Avraham Avinu, suffering was considered both the main challenge which the covenantal community was expected to meet heroically, and the great means of realizing the meta-historical destiny of this community. Avraham, as the incarnation of the knighthood of faith, was a great sufferer. When we read in Bereshis, dealing with the bris and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pledge to Avraham, the Torah has as follows. The Rav quotes it in English. Vayihi Hashemesh Lavo V'sardemo Nofla Al Avraham V'hinei Eimo Chashecho Gedola Nofelas Olav Vayomel Avraham Yodoha Teda Ki Gei Yezarachu Be'eretz Lo Lohem Va'avodum V'inu Osam Avraham Eyoshana. From time immemorial, this is the opening page in Halachic Mount. From time immemorial, whenever the identity of the individual and the community was shattered, man encountered God. E.g., Adam, paradisiacal man after his fall, Adam Arishan after the Chait, Moshe Rabbeinu, after the Egel. Religious experience is born in crisis. The transcendental, in quotation marks, adventure, again in quotation marks, the flight of the alone, lowercase a, to the alone, uppercase A, is precipitated by despair. Man, in his chancing upon the contradictory and absurd in life, apprehends the vision of a hidden God. This reality that whenever the identity of the individual and community was shattered, and it can be shattered by chait, it can be shattered by suffering, it can be shattered by both, that man encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu can and should be understood on at least two different levels. To be understood on exoterically, call it halachic terms, call it religious, psychological terms, and it should also be understood esoterically, in religious, metaphysical categories. But before we proceed to do that, another example of what the Rav's talking about, you have in the beginning of Sefer Shmos. At the end of, when does Moshe Rabbeinu first attain his unique level of Nevuah? So the Rambam writes that he attains it in the beginning of Parshas Va'era. Vayedav Elokim Moshe Vayom Elav Ani Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu is receiving, again, unique nevuah that no one before or after him has or ever will receive. The beginning of Parshas Va'era. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the first time Moshe Rabbeinu spikes and becomes absolutely unique. And v'lo kam navi b'Yisrael k'moshe od asher yado Hashem panim al panim. What happens at the end of Parshas Shmos? Moshe Rabbeinu sinned. Moshe Rabbeinu, Lama zeh shalachtoni, me'oz bosi ledaber, u'paru v'shmacha, heira la'om hazeh, v'hatza lo yitzalto en samecha. And in the aftermath of that chait, so Moshe Rabbeinu then encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the highest level that any human being ever has or will. What's the pshat? The chitzonius of life entices, distracts, and diverts. What does the chitzonius of life denote? What does it include? Anything and everything which doesn't either directly or indirectly connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One can go for a walk or a jog on a beautiful spring day and enjoy it very much. And the enjoyment is framed by a bochi nafshi sense of marabu masach Hashem. Alternately, one can go on a jog that day and enjoy it with no greater transcendental context. One can listen to music, enjoy the music very much, and be religiously inspired by the lyrics. One can listen to music and enjoy, period, without it being part of something bigger. One can go to work, enjoy one's job, find it challenging and satisfying, support his family, but he's motivated by Godel Hanane Miyigia Kapov. He's motivated by Kol Misha'enu Melamed Izbeno Unnus Kilo Melamdo Listus. He's motivated by the importance of being Oseg B'Derech Eretz. Or he can go to work and enjoy his career, period. A person can feel secure in life, which also helps foster a sense of joy, because he's financially secure, in good, robust health, or he can feel secure in life and have a tremendous simchas achayim. Because life is good. Vayar Elokim Eskol Hasha'asa Vinei Tov Ma'od. It's an extraordinary brach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be alive. A person can feel secure because he feels that his fellow countrymen are decent, civilized people. Maybe even philo-Semites. Well, you can feel secure because hinei lo yonum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. A person can feel a much needed sense of belonging because he identifies with ostensibly moral causes and the communities that grow around those causes. He can go out and join the Black Lives Matter protests and feel a part of something bigger, ostensibly a moral cause. Or he can feel a sense of belonging as a part of the Jewish people who are bound together as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people. The chitzonius of life, as mentioned, is alluring and distracting. Ostensibly, it provides a home, an identity, a community, but it also separates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When in the words of the Rav, the identity of the individual and or community is shattered by chait, catastrophe, or both, he encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu because all the chitzonius is stripped away. The Elohe Chesev, Elohe Zoav melt away. He discovers that an inordinate number, not all, but an inordinate number of his fellow citizens are busy attending pro-Hamas demonstrations. In the wake of the catastrophe . The chitzonius that seemed enjoyable before becomes totally meaningless. And what's left? What is a person left with? The most beautiful story from Hasidus that I know concerns two brothers from the Chernobyl dynasty, Reb Yochanan Rachmis Drifka and his older brother, Reb David Altalner. Reb David Altalner, in his day, 19th century Ukraine, he was nifted in the 1880s, was known far and wide as a Paul Yeshuas. People flocked from all over. When you needed a Yeshua, that was your address. So his brother, Reb Yochanan Rachmis Drifka, who had his own chotzer, he was also a Rebbe, once said to him, "Bameh kolchach hagadol? How are you able to, how do you do it? When people come to me, I daven with all the kavonis and all the yichudim, doesn't go. How do you do it?" So Abdullah Talmud said, I'll tell you. He says, when they come to you, someone who's tzibachin, someone who's broken comes to you, so you receive him with kavod malachim. You receive him regally, and you embrace him figuratively and literally with love. And you give him such a generous, bountiful, overflowing bracha. He says, when they come to me, he says, first of all, I have to wait 4 months before I let them in. And during those 4 months, they sleep on the hard, cold bench in the Beis Medrash. When finally their turn to come in and talk to me comes, so before they go in, the gabbai goes over to them and tells and warns them, "You have 2 minutes with the Rebbe, and don't you dare even think about overstaying those 2 minutes." At this point, when he finally comes in, he's so nervous, the first 30 seconds he can't even talk. Finally, he begins to talk, to tell me what he wants to talk about. The gabbai comes barging in and yells at him, "1 minute, mechutzif! Just 1 minute left." He can't even talk. At the end of this 2 minute audience, I say something very ambiguous. He leaves my room. He's even more tzibachin than when he came in. And he gives a kracht. He thinks to himself, this was the last address. This was my last hope. He's supposed to be the Paul Yeshua, and look, nothing. He leaves my room, he's more tzibachin than when he came, and he gives a kracht, he gives a sigh. And he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I have no one other than you. In Shamayim, Udavel said, they're waiting for that kracht. Whenever the identity of the individual and community was shattered, man encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emes is the Rav says the same point as this story. What happens at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel? What prompts Chana, tefillah, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers? She goes up with Aliyah LeRega with Elkanah, and again she's very tzibachin about that she's an akara, that she's childless. And Elkanah says to Chana, Lama Sivki, the Lama Yera Levavech, why are you crying? Why are you so despondent? Hello Anochi Tovloch Me Asar Banim. No, the love that I shower upon you, isn't that surpasses the love you'd have from 10 children. So says the Rav. So until this point, Chana thought there was one person in the room, one person in the world, who at least understood her pain. But she wasn't entirely alone. Who sheared in her suffering. And she sees it's not true. She sees that her husband doesn't get it either. And what happens? She davens. Not for the first time, but she davens like she never davened before. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers. Whenever the identity of the individual and community was shattered, man encountered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The esoteric perspective, the metaphysical perspective, Zarach Leida Ne'amona, says the Baal HaTanya. Ki af misha daito k'tsara b'idiyas Hashem. Ve'en lo lev lohovin b'gdulas ein sov baruch hu. Loholid mimena d'chilu urechimu. Yira v'ava. Skipping a few words. Af al pichein korov elav hadova ma'od. Even such an individual, Daitok Tzara, Ein lo lev lohovin b'gdula sein sof. Even such an individual, Korv Eilav, quoting on the Pesuk, Zev Dvarim, Ki Korv Eilach Adov Ma'od, Beficho V'Vavcha, Afo B'chein Korv Eilav Adov Ma'od, Lishmo V'lasos Kol Mitzvos HaTorah, V'Talmud Torah K'neged Kulan, Befiv V'Vavo Mamosh, Me umka de liba be'emes la'amito b'tchilu urechimo shehi ava misuteres shebelev klalus yisra. There's an ava, there's a hidden ava inside the Jewish heart. Shehi Yerushalonu me'avoseinu. In the next parak, v'lachein nikreis ava zo b'nefesh elokis sheritzona v'cheftza l'dobeg b'Hashem chaye hachayim baruch hu. It's nikreis b'shem ava misutares because ki hi misutares u'mechusa b'levush sak Deklipa b'poshe Yisrael. Ach, skipping several lines. Listen to this. This is eerie. Kishaboim lidei nisayon bedvar emuna. Something happens which is a challenge to emuna. Ach kishaboim, and referring even achlan l'tzlan to people. I mean, the Baal Tanya is talking even about Poshe Yisrael, who perhaps, you know, who bear responsibility for that. And even them, but al achas kama v'kama, those who simply don't know any better. Ach kishaboim lidei nisoyun bidvar emuna, shehi lemala me'adas, oz hi ne'ora v'noga ad ha'nefesh, oz azah hi ne'ora, the nefesh is awakened mishenosa, Upoeles pu'ulasa b'koach Hashem hamalubash ba. Kishabo, skipping a few lines, this is mamash. Kishabo lidei nisoyun b'dvar emuna b'Hashem echad. He bechinas chochma shebenefesh alokis sheba malubash or ein sof baruchu have kol aklibos betelim umavutalim v'hoyu kelohoyu mamish lifnei Hashem. And he describes, Hine Ur Hashem Ein Sov Baruch Hu HaMelubash B'Chochma Shabanefesh Godol V'Otzum Kochol Kolkash L'Garish V'Lidchos HaSitra Achav HaKlipos Shelo Yuchlu Yig'u Afilu B'Levushav Shem Machshav Dibo Maisa Shel Amunas Hashem Echad Tahaynu Lamu B'Nisoyon Limso Nafsho. V'zen nikra dechilu hanichlal b'rechimu shi'ava hativis shebenefesh alokis shebechlalus Yisrael. That's what those videos of Shema Yisrael, Hashem l'kan Hashem echad are showing. That's what the Ana Hashem Oshiyan are showing. Is what the Baal HaTanya is describing. So we have a perspective on this dialectical confluence of Avelus and Hisorus, and Avelus precipitated by a catastrophe that is impossible to adequately describe. So, what is a person feeling when seeing the shiva houses across the country? And most recently with the death of Chayalim for 18-year-olds, for 19-year-olds, for 20-year-olds. But also seeing this incredible Hisorus So it's important to understand, maybe a paradigm is provided by the Rambam, Yisodei HaTorah. The Rambam is talking about the dual mitzvahs of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. So the Rambam, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, as you know, writes, V'hechi ha'derech la'avoso v'yiraso. B'shor she'izbonein ha'odim b'masa v'buah v'anifloim. Hagedolim. When a person reflects on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great, wondrous handiwork and creations, he sees the inestimable, infinite chokhmah. So immediately he takes the first step in terms of ava. He praises, he glorifies HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mis'avet taivu gadola leida Hashem ha'godol. And there's this irresistible attraction. He's drawn magnetically to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mis'avet taivu gadola leida Hashem ha'godol. K'mo she'omer David, soma nafshi lelukim nekel choy. David HaMelech, he thirsts for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His soul thirsts for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Rambam, u'kshem chashe b'dvarim ha'ilu atzman. But when he then reflects on this same masa vubu of haniflam hagadolim, the same reflection, miyadu nirtal achorav, he recoils, v'yira v'yafached, he's terrified, v'yeda shu biryak tana shfela afela, and he realizes how tiny and puny and inconsequential he is. So maybe logically, these two reactions, if you just sort of think about it logically, maybe they're contradictory. But the reality is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu arouses within a person both of those simultaneously. And whether they're logically compatible or not, I don't know, but in terms of human experience, that they coexist. But even in Midah the Alma, sometimes contradictory emotions coexist. I don't know, when you see people on a roller coaster, so they're screaming, and the screaming clearly is that they're terrified and exhilarated. Simultaneously. They're screaming because they're terrified, but they're also, I don't know, they get some kind of high out of it. So the teva of a person is that when we experience something which simultaneously elicits what perhaps logically are contradictory states of being, of mind, they coexist within us. And we experience both simultaneously. What's our reaction? We should be crying and grieving. We should be desperately davening for the welfare of each and every chayal. If only Klal Yisrael will do tshuva and daven the way we need to, not a single chayal has to die. Not a single chayal has to die. Ribbono Shel Olam can figure out how to destroy evil without there being korbanos. So we cry, we grieve, we desperately daven, and simultaneously we're warmed. There's a sense of warmth. There's a glow by the reality of Gam ki elech v'geitzal moves lo yivavo ki ato imodi. Shiftecha. What's Shiftecha? Shiftecha mishantecha hemiachemuni. What's Shiftecha? Kiyake ishes avdo oasamosa vashevet. It's what you use to hit someone. So Shiftecha hemiachemuni. Is it contradictory? Yeah, it is contradictory. But that's the essence of life, and that's again the reality, but also the potential in the current matzav.